Yesterday we sang the practice song that I believe Ty wrote about breathing in, breathing out. I'm blooming as a flower. I'm fresh as the dew. I'm solid as a mountain. I'm firm as the earth. And Ty talks about that as a way for us to touch something, something that's true about our nature. And certainly when we think about mountains, we think about something that's very solid, it's very stable, as abiding and unshakable. And these qualities reflect our practice. As we talked about yesterday, how important diligence is or a calm abiding is in our practice. Coming back to abide in the solidity of who we are. And being kind of unshakable, in our confidence of our practice and our ability to come back, to hear the airplane overhead, to enjoy the presence of our friends. And there's something very much about meditation that reflects qualities of the mountains. Young Chi said it this way: I've entered the deep mountains to silence and beauty. In a profound valley beneath high cliffs, I sit under the old pine trees. And truly, when we sit deep in the mountains, deep in our own silence and beauty, we begin to touch what is ancient and what is perennial. The green old pine trees, the profound valley. Something that is true about ourselves. And so when we sit in meditation, it's really important to take ourselves in hand, to sit deep in the mountains, to touch that stillness that is our own beauty and is also the beauty of mountains. When we let go of all our concepts, all our self-identifications, and we enter into something bigger than just me and mine and you and yours, something where subject and object begin to fall away. And there is that solidity and stillness and deep beauty there. And we touch that ability to just be calmly abiding in this moment. And truly, mountains teach us the way of meditation. I know at home, up at Mountain Lamp, during the morning sitting meditation, sky is lightening early now in the morning, and so during walking meditation after the first period, I go outside to walk down towards the garden to let the chickens out, and I stop and look across the valley to the mountains. And I don't look at the mountains to realize my mountain nature. I believe the mountains realize themselves through me. So there's nothing there at all. just the deep valley, the high cliffs, and the pine trees. You know, we need the courage of a mountain to be human. The truth of our human existence is that we never know the next moment. And it takes a lot of courage to stay here in that not knowing. And we spend a lot of our time trying to avoid that, trying to plan the future so that we know what's going to happen. We think we'll know what's going to happen. Or distracting ourselves. And distracting ourselves with trying to build up some sort of personal identity. And so much of our personal identity involves, you know, this sense of having control or having power. This isn't the kind of power that we're talking about here. It's not the power we have over other people or in our lives or at our work. The power of a spiritual life comes from the power of our presence. And that affects changes. It's like mountains standing tall affects the wind, affects the clouds. But the mountain doesn't think, I'm going to make those clouds rain. It is simply their great presence allows the naturalness of the flowing world to unfold. Ah, such beauty. Such freedom. And when we touch that freedom, then we know the great courage of that is unshakable. And it is the courage of standing like a mountain, sitting like a mountain, smiling like a mountain. In our practice during formal meals, we say, my body is mindfulness itself, just like the mindfulness of a mountain. It's realized through us. We don't make it happen. And that is the true freedom of spiritual power. Completely natural. Everything unfolding just as it is. There's great virtue in allowing things to be as they are, to trusting things as they are. And Dogen writes about this in his Eihei Dogen, who was a 13th century Zen master in Japan, wrote in his Sutra, the Mountains and Rivers Sutra. He said, "The virtues of mountains are so high and wide that we always realize moral virtue, which can ride the clouds by relying on the mountains. And we unfailingly liberate the subtle effectiveness which follows the wind by relying on the mountains." And he goes on to say, "Mountains lack none of the virtues with which mountains should be equipped." He's speaking about something that's deeply true about all of us. We touched it a little bit yesterday when we talked about watering good seeds. When we let go of all our self-identification and self-centered needs, we find that already the virtues expressed in the precepts, the true virtues of being human, are already there, are already completely there. So it's not as though we have to create something, but it's by letting something manifest and be uncovered, something that's already there, it's already true about us. So mountains lack none of the virtues with which mountains should be equipped. For this reason, they are constantly abiding in stillness and constantly walking. We must painstakingly learn in practice the virtue of this walking. The walking of mountains must be like the walking of human beings. Therefore, even though it does not look like humans walking, but do not doubt the walking of mountains. I think in our commitments, that our practice commitments this week, we take up the practice of walking like a mountain. And once again, it's not as though we need to turn ourselves into mountains, but rather let mountains be realized through us. If we think about mountains, then they are something externalized and no longer have their true presence. They become part of something that's subject and object, like you and me. And mountains already dwell beyond subject and object, as we too do. In reality, there is no subject and object, just the coming forth in this moment, in this moment, in this moment. So we don't say it's being born, we don't say it's dying. Because there's no separation from the very beginning. And it's like mountains in a huge range. It's hard to know where one mountain begins and the next one ends. Just as it is with us when we sit here together in Sangha, it's hard to know where one of us begins and where we end. Our shoulders run into each other. Our breath mingles. our steps are the same steps. And because mountains, blue mountains, already dwell beyond subject and object, because we can say we also already dwell beyond subject and object, beyond you and me. They're constantly flowing, constantly moving. That great essential nature is always being expressed. There's no way for us to separate from it. And on one hand, it's totally impersonal, and on the other hand, it's absolutely personal. As personal as Anita, as Paul, as Leah. Dogen goes on to say, if we doubt the walking of mountains, we also do not yet know our own walking. It is not that we do not have our own walking, but we do not yet know and have not yet clarified our own walking. When we know our own walking, then we also surely know the walking of blue mountains. If we have any thought of this step of walking, then we are already separate. Just as though when we have any thought of mountains as out there, then we are already separate. And the true practice of mindfulness is to let go of all that separation so that subject and object is transcended by our activity in the moment, right now. We can't even say just this step. That already puts too many words on it. But we just experience it. We just experience our body as mindfulness itself, with no thought whatsoever. So when we walk this way, the whole universe walks with us. The plane overhead walks with us. The wind in the trees walks with us. The birds in the air walk with us. And this is truly the practice of walking meditation. If we are applying words to it, it's already too much there. We've already created separation. And simply by letting go of that separation, to experience exactly what's here, exactly what's manifesting, just what's arising. In truth, what Dogen is talking about in this sutra, where he speaks about blue mountains walking, is that great reality that is our true nature. We can see a mountain, but we can't really know it. We can see this cliff, this glacier, this path through the flowers. We can investigate it, smelling the fresh air, hearing the birds fly, feeling the cold of snow, of a snowfield. And yet there's something eternal there that's always manifesting. And we only can touch it in this moment through this arising, this manifesting, this activity. And truly, it's the same about ourselves. That great reality, we know it through our inherent virtue, our natural kindness to each other, the simple act of picking up a ladybug on the windowsill and releasing her out the window. All those very natural movements of our being express that great truth about who we are. Just as mountains manifest wildflowers in July, just as mountains manifest marmots in their rocks, the rock falls, just as mountains, with no effort at all, manifest rain from the clouds, so it is that that without identification of me or you, we manifest that perfect reality. And that is our true power. The power that comes from the very fact that this individual body somehow has come into existence. We don't ask, where did the mountains come from, or where are they going, when we look in one moment at a mountain. Nor do we ask of ourselves, where did we come from, or where are we going. Because in this moment, everything is manifest just perfectly. That is both the practice and the realization of the Buddha way. I know there's a tendency, you know, to want things to be, you know, just to be able to say, I know this, I understand this. And and there is this great sense of joy in being able to explain things simply and clearly. And yet there's something that's really important in our practice, and that is to be able to also dwell in not knowing. To have a question. To have a place of inquiry. So to be able to ask of ourselves, what does it mean that blue mountains are always walking? And blue mountains are constantly still. They constantly are abiding in stillness and constantly walking. How does that live as our own practice? How do we manifest that? And of course, it's always manifesting. That most natural way of each of us, unique and special, is our manifestation. The great Buddha nature of essential being is being expressed through each of us in every second, because we can't be separate from it. We are its expression, just as much as the mountains are its expression, as the birds are, as the trees are. Each thing manifesting uniquely and specially of its own kind. And yet, at the same time, not separate at all. So, with our walking meditation this week, walk as a mountain. Walk as a mountain, not separate from anything. Not thinking about where I'm going, what the next step is going to be like. Can I really be present to touch the earth? But walk with the full consciousness of stillness, of calm abiding, of trust, and with your great virtue, touching the beauty of the earth with your own beauty. And in that way, let the mountain be realized through you, as you. So that's all I want to say about mountains. There is some time left, so I'd like to take this time to answer questions. A friend told me this story once. She was on an airplane, and it was a prop plane, and it was flying from one island to another island. And while they were flying, there was a huge storm. And the plane, you know, sometimes planes bump up like this, and sometimes they go like this. The plane was going all like this, and really being tossed around. And people on the plane were getting sick, and turning green, literally turning green. And my friend said that she had no idea what was going to happen at all. But she felt complete trust in whatever happened, it was okay. That no matter what happened, she was right there. She wasn't. And the plane landed safely, and people were really shaken, and she felt this great confidence stepping off the plane, you know, like it was okay. Exactly what happened would happen was okay. You know, our dear friend Mary Wessler, who died on the last day of our 7-day retreat at Camp Indianola. This Friday is the 49th day since her death. And I'll be in Deer Park, at Deer Park Monastery, and we're doing a ceremony for her and planting a tree. Her children are coming to join us. And we're going to plant an incense cedar up by the Big Buddha up on the hill. Mm-hmm. Big Buddha for Mary. And I spent a lot of time with Mary after she got diagnosed with ALS. And she had a long-term practice. She'd been practicing for 20 years. And she said that there were times when she would be afraid, you know, when she'd have a really hard time breathing. And when she could just let go and trust, then her breath would come naturally. And it took a great deal of confidence for her to be able to trust that by letting go, she would be okay. And she didn't know if the next breath would come or not. But by letting go, it was just okay. And she said she touched something really deep in that experience of not knowing whether she'd have her next breath or not, and still entrusting herself to that moment. Was she said her sort of her identity of me as Mary. You know, how do you talk about these sorts of things? It fell away. And she touched something that she knew would never die. And she could never explain that. But she knew, no matter what, she was okay. We don't ever know what the next moment is in our lives. But we give ourselves, we just fling ourselves into it. Moment by moment, we fling ourselves into it. And that letting go of what was the last moment to embrace the next moment allows for this incredible freedom. and sense of okay. That it is all absolutely okay. But it is a matter of trusting as well. Any other questions? So I don't want to say practice like a mountain or as a mountain, but rather to know your mountain nature through this week. To each day touch your nature as a mountain. And let that be expressed through your living, your steps. Blue Mountains constantly abide in stillness and are constantly walking.